want to read some verses from the 11th chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 11, commencing to read at verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to this short public reading of his own precious and inspired and infallible word. Let's turn again in the Word of God, this time to Luke's Gospel. I want to read another short passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and commencing to read at verse 38, Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 38. "It came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered, thou art careful about many things, but one thing Mary hath chosen, that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but Mary hath chosen that good part, the one thing needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Let's turn to the portion that we read in John's Gospel. And in John's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 3, we have our text for today. And the words are simply these. You'll find it right at the end of verse 3. "He whom thou lovest is sick." He whom thou lovest is sick. If you were with us last Lord's Day evening, you will remember that your minister preached from the book of Joshua in the 3rd chapter. And it deals with the great migration of the people of Israel over the River Jordan into the land of Canaan. And that was some undertaking, where upwards of 2 million people were instructed from the Lord and moved into another land where they were eventually to take up residence. The Lord led the nation. There were those who were to the fore in bringing God's guidance and God's instruction to the nation. And that, of course, is what we need today in our land. God has a care and a concern for the nations. We know that when we see in the life and experience of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he stood on the hill overlooking Jerusalem and wept as he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chicks, and ye would not." That's why in the Bible we are instructed to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Certainly the Lord will save kings. He'll save all sorts of people. But he has an interest in what happens in the nation and in the country, so that the cause of the Lord, we ought to pray, so that the cause of the Lord and the work of God will progress unhindered. We may not necessarily be inclined to those who bear rule over us, but we should pray for kings and for all that are in authority. You will know, of course, that the Bible covers the whole gamut of human experience. And whilst we can say, on the one hand, that the Lord has a care and a concern for the welfare of the nations, he also has a care and a concern for our homes. He also has a care and a concern for individuals. And while on the one hand we can read in the scriptures of the great migration of the nation of Israel, millions of people moving at God's behest, we have, on the other hand, portions of scripture like the ones we have read this morning that home in upon the home, that bring us to see the circumstances that prevail within the home. And it's that I want us to think about this morning. We are standing still in the vestibule of a new year, and we don't know what lies ahead of us in 2014. But he knows, and he cares. And I want us to see that this morning as we consider the words of our text together just now. John 11, verse 3. He whom thou lovest is sick. Now I want you to notice, first of all, from these words, the trial that had to be endured. And that's intimated for us in the word sick. And it was a great sickness that's referred to here. Indeed, it was an illness, it was a sickness that led to death. Now, in relation to that, let's think about the locality. Because if you look at the portion that we read, we're told that the locality was a place called Bethany. You'll read that in verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany. Could I say to you this morning that Bethany was a favorite place of the Lord's? It was 2 miles east of Jerusalem, over the top of the Mount of Olives. I mentioned to you earlier that the Lord stood on the Mount of Olives and looked down before him and saw the city of Jerusalem and wept over it. Well, just over the top of the Mount of Olives was this town or village, as it's called in Luke's Gospel, called Bethany. You're having a short mission at the end of the month, and it's just down the road, Ballybogie, just about the same distance that Bethany was from Jerusalem. Some of you, I think, have been in Jerusalem. I've been there, and I've walked down that road from that area straight down into Jerusalem. It's a lovely place, a lovely walk, a lovely view, as you can see the city stretching out before you, much bigger now than it was in Bible times. But over the brow of that hill, just a couple of miles, the Bible says it was about 15 furlongs, that's just under 2 miles from Jerusalem, there was this little hamlet, this little place called Bethany. And any time the Lord was in Jerusalem, along with his disciples, that was the place of his residence. There were people there in that little village that loved him. That was the place where Simon the leper lived. That was where there was a great feast made for the Lord. That was the little hamlet, the little village where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. It was a place where the Lord felt at ease. It was a place where the Lord and the disciples were often entertained. We read about that in Luke chapter 10, that Martha received the Lord, and of course those who were with him. She received the Lord into her house. It was a lovely place. It was a place that you would want to go to yourself if you wanted to get away from the hustle and bustle that would have been in Jerusalem, especially at the feast times, 3 times a year. You'll read in the scriptures about the last week of the Lord and how during that last week he travelled from Bethany down into Jerusalem. There was a whole lot of hustle and bustle. They went out again up over the mountain into Bethany at night, and that continued for a week. day after day, down from Bethany into Jerusalem, away from all the hustle and bustle, back to Bethany. It was a lovely place. It was a place where Mary and Martha and Lazarus were held in very high esteem. They were well known, extremely well known. It was a place where they were regarded very highly indeed, and they were to the fore at entertaining the Lord any time he came, and the disciples any time that they came with him. But let's think not only about the locality, let's think about the hospitality. I've mentioned to you from Luke chapter 10 what it says: when the Lord went into the village, Martha received him into her house. And that wasn't just taking him and those who were with him just in for a bit of a break. It was taking them in, looking after them, caring for them, seeing to what they needed, seeing to what they required, giving them hospitality. It talks in Luke about Martha being cumbered with much serving. So it wasn't just the Lord himself, it was those who were with him, and no doubt others from the locality. They would have been in the house. They would have enjoyed the companionship of one another. They would have enjoyed the friendship and the instruction and the presence that they had from the Lord. And that was enjoyed and experienced time and time and time and time again. What a lovely place that was. It was a place of hospitality. It was also a place of great spirituality. You'll remember what the Lord said about Mary. You'll remember, as we read it this morning, what it says about her: she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And there were many others from that village that did likewise. They sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Oh, how enthralling those experiences were for those people. How delighted, how filled with heaven their souls and their hearts and their minds were as they sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. A great place. It was like heaven on earth. A lovely little hamlet. Great people, very hospitable people, very spiritual people, looked forward to entertaining the Lord and his disciples. He was often found there among them. And yet, folks, it's in that very place that tragedy strikes. Lazarus, who was often sitting at Jesus' feet, Lazarus, who had often heard the Lord speak and reveled in all that he had heard, had taken ill. And it wasn't just a mere cold or some slight illness. It was a very severe illness. And I've no doubt the people in that little hamlet were concerned as word got out: Lazarus is unwell. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus seemingly is dying. And I can imagine the reaction of some people. How is it that this man should be going through this? How is it that this man should be so ill? Even later on, and read this chapter, chapter 11. It's a great chapter. It's a notable chapter. And I'll tell you a bit more about it in a minute or two. But even later on, people had said, how could he not? How could he who has made the blind to see, who has opened their eyes, how could he not have stopped this man from dying? There were question marks. Why should this great saint go through this? Why should his lovely sisters, godly girls, godly women, have to endure what they were enduring? Now the Lord had a purpose in it. There's no doubt about that. But folks, we don't know what the year ahead holds for us. When I was in Lima Valley, we had a lovely young married woman, 36 years of age. We were doing outreach. We were knocking doors. We were seeking the lost, and she was out thinking that she just had an upset stomach. She was out with a hot water bottle up her coat, knocking the doors, seeking the lost, but unknown to us and unknown to her, she had cancer. Cancer of the pancreas. And that 36-year-old woman left, died in January, left a family of six. I often walk past her house and ask the question, why? Oh, there were others who didn't care about the Lord, who didn't love the Lord. And you know what I mean when I say this. They may not have been missed, but here was a great girl. Here was a lovely woman who wanted to serve the Lord. Many of our young people had to go across to mainland England and study in university. We have a church in Liverpool. And the Reverend Hillis Fleming was its minister. And many people in Northern Ireland have to thank God for that church. It had hard times, it had struggling times. But Reverend Fleming and his wife made those students feel at home. They were not only entertained and welcomed in the church, but they were entertained and welcomed in his home time and time and time and time and time again. Reverend Fleming was a lovely man, unusual, maybe even unique, but he was a lovely servant of the Lord. He retired to a place in South Wales called Merthyr Tydfil. That's where Nigel is ministering at the minute. And I don't think he even saw 5 years of retirement. He would have been a great asset to the little work there was and would have continued to have been. But our brother's gone. And we ask why. Remember his wife. His wife is still there. She has hard times. We pray for missionaries, folks, and it's good to pray for missionaries. We think of foreign fields, folks, and it's good to think of foreign fields. But let's not fall into the trap that's expressed in the Song of Solomon. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Pray for Mrs. Fleming. She finds it difficult. She finds it hard. She's unwell. Remember her in prayer. But we ask the question, why? Why should that happen? Why was he not spared? Why was the young woman not spared? They were asking the questions in Bethany, no doubt. Why? Why? We don't know what lies ahead of us this year. There may be pleasing times. There may be painful times. But our times are in his hand. We don't know what trials we may have to endure. By the same token, we don't even know what triumphs we're going to experience. But 2014 is in his hand. Let's think not only of the trial that had to be endured, but the truth that was heavily leaned upon. Think about the words of the text. Mary and Martha said unto the Lord with this message, "He whom thou lovest is sick." Now, they didn't send a message to the Lord and say, "He who loves you, Lord, is sick." They didn't say that. That would have been true, but they didn't say that. They didn't even send a message to the Lord and say, "Lord, we who love you, our brother's ill." And that would have been true, but they didn't say that. When they sent to the Lord, they sent this message: "He whom thou lovest is sick." See, one thing that these two ladies were assured of: the Lord loved them. The Lord loved them. And you'll see in the passage that we read, you'll have this love mentioned. It's not only mentioned in the text that we have chosen for today, but you'll also see it mentioned in verse 5. It says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So there's no doubt about it that the Lord loved these people. The Lord loved Lazarus. The Lord loved Mary. The Lord loved Martha. Now, sometimes that doesn't seem to be the case. Let's look at this situation here. For the Lord was at a distance from them. He wasn't there in Bethany. He was dwelling at some distance in another part of the land. It may have been Galilee. It may have been beyond. He definitely wasn't in Judea, because you read that in this chapter, that he said to the disciples, "We'll go now into Judea." So he wasn't there near them when it happened. He was at a distance. And folks, doesn't it feel that way with us at times? When we're going through some trying time, when we're going through some difficulty, it seems the Lord's not there. He's at a distance from us. We don't feel his nearness. We don't feel his presence. That's the way it seems. And then, of course, notice something else. There was a delay. Look at what it says. Look at what it says in the passage. Verse 5 tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then the next verse says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, some of you have had news. Someone belonging to you has taken ill. And you've responded immediately. A brother, a sister, someone in your family, and you'll go to see them as quickly as you can. And that's the way it should be. But look what happened here. When the Lord heard, he knew, of course, before he heard, you will understand that, but when the Lord heard, it says he abode 2 days still. The Lord wasn't flustered. The Lord was never in a hurry. And it could not be said that the Lord didn't care. Have we not read in the verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha? That Jesus loved her sister? That Jesus loved Lazarus? And it wasn't because the Lord didn't love them that he was unwell and that they were going through that trial. Sometimes we think that. Oh, nobody's going through it like I'm going through it. Nobody has had the difficulties that I've had. And sometimes you're tempted to think the Lord doesn't love you. At least he doesn't love you as much as he loves other people. That's not true. That's not true. In spite of the distance, and in spite of the delay, the Lord loved these people. Never ceased loving them. And he loved them with the same love. In fact, in this very book, the Gospel of John, we're told in John 13 and verse 1 that the Lord loved his own and he loved them unto the end. Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my all, my soul in thee. So don't think whatever happens to you or to me in 2014, the Lord's love has changed. It hasn't. It hasn't. My love is oft times low. My joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with him remains the same. No change, Jehovah knows. Would Martha and Mary have been tempted to think, does he still love us? He wasn't quick in coming. He wasn't fast in his response, at least as they understood it. They may well have thought that, but it wasn't the case. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved her sister. Jesus loved Lazarus. In spite of the distance, in spite of the delay, the Lord had a design. Look at what the Lord said, verse 6, you'll see it. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, but that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. The Lord had some design unknown to Martha. The Lord had some design unknown to Mary. He had a purpose in delaying. He had a purpose in not coming straight away. This is for the glory of God. This is that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And folks, we don't know the sovereign purpose and mind of the Lord, but we do know. And this was one thing that Mary and Martha knew. Whatever his purpose was, whatever his design was, they knew. They were assured. They were convinced that the Lord loved them. He whom thou lovest. He whom thou lovest. Oh, let us never doubt God's love for us. The trial that had to be endured, the truth that was leaned very heavily upon the love of Christ for them, but then lastly, the trust that won the day. Notice what it says if you look at verse 3. Verse 3 tells us that his sisters sent unto him. His sisters sent unto him. So they have a petition that they send unto the Lord. I've no doubt that they did all that they could for Lazarus. I've no doubt there were plenty of people in the Bethany area that would have come and suggested and helped and relieved Mary and Martha in looking after Lazarus. They did all they could, but these girls knew. They knew that the real answer lay with the Lord. This is an age of communications, enhanced communications. You have the internet facility called IM, instant messaging. You have Twitter. You have Skype. You have your texting on your phone, and you can send messages almost instantaneously to someone even across the world. Mary and Martha send their message to the Lord. And I'll say to you today, the Lord knew that message even before it was delivered unto him. The Church of God has always had instantaneous messaging because he's there. He's there. That's why we sung the hymn this morning, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear. What a Privilege to Carry Everything to Him in Prayer." Mary and Martha knew that Jesus was their friend. Mary and Martha knew that Jesus cared for them. Therefore, they sent their petition. Their trust was in him. They relied upon him. But notice not only their petition, you will also notice their perseverance. If you look at verse 22 in John 11, when the Lord does eventually come, when the Lord eventually comes to Bethany and speaks to Mary and speaks to Martha, Martha says this, verse 22, "For I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." She still believed in the Lord. Her brother had been taken ill. Her brother had died. The Lord had arrived, as she saw it, late on the scene. But she still believed. Even now, if you ask, whatever you will ask, God will give it thee. Oh, it was a tried and a tested faith. But she persevered. She didn't give up in believing that the answer lay with him. And then if you look at verse 40 in the same chapter, the Lord Jesus speaking again to Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. She continued to tenaciously hold on to the Lord. Oh, I know you care, Lord. I believe you can do, Lord, something for us even now. But she never anticipated the stupendous miracle that took place. For when the Lord told him to roll away the stone, Martha says, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days and he'll be stinking. Never in her wildest imagination did Martha or Mary believe that this would happen on a dead. And folks, who knows what the Lord has in store for us in 2014. There may be trials, and I've no doubt there will be, but there'll also be triumphs. This is a great chapter. Read it when you go home. It's a notable chapter. It's the chapter in the Bible that has the shortest verse in the whole of the Word of God, John 11:35. And as Jesus stood at the grave, just outside that cave where Lazarus was buried, it says Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Think of those words, folks. Does he love me? Does he care? Do my circumstances mean anything to him? Here's the Son of God who called all things into being by just commanding them to be so. Here is the Son of God who knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. There's nothing, there's no one hid from him. And he weeps. And the very next verse, verse 36, they say, behold how he loved him. How he loved him. And what delight, what joy, what amazement there must have been in Bethany that day as Lazarus came forth. Loose him and let him go, as Lazarus was restored to his home, restored to his sisters, restored to that little hamlet. And the news spread like wildfire. You know, the Lord delights to do good for his people. Didn't they think, perhaps, a short while before, does he really care? Well, he does care, and he showed it. And please God, that will be our experience in 2014. Keep a hold of the truth that the Lord loves you. He'll never give up. They tell you that the most trustworthy people are undertakers and grave diggers, for they're the last to let you down. But you can always trust the Lord. He'll never, ever fail us, come what may. And whatever 2014 has, he's there for you. Oh, there may be delays. There may be times when you find it hard. There may be times when you find it difficult. There may be times when it seems the Lord's at a distance. But he cares. He's there for you. And he'll bless us in coming to our aid. He whom thou lovest is sick. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts this morning. We're going to sing a closing hymn. And it's a hymn, I think, that's very appropriate to what we've been speaking about this morning. It's the hymn numbered 426, Does Jesus Care? And of course the chorus goes, oh yes he cares, I know he cares. Let's stand as we sing this lovely hymn, the hymn numbered 426. Standing as we sing. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Don't go from this house this morning thinking he doesn't care for me. he does. And if you're not saved, if you're not born again, he loves you too. He loves you to the extent that not only did he weep, but he shed his precious blood for you. He gave his spotless life. There's no one, but no one, but no one in this house today that the Lord doesn't love. Oh, that you would respond to that love today. Father, write thy word upon each heart, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.